Lori Prox here with Scott Benda of the City of Valdez and Ali Furco. And we discussed in a meeting with the city manager a little bit about Valdez Glacier. A lot of activity out there. And Scott, you're kind of a resident expert and had an opportunity to go up and take some pictures. So I know we have a link in our email newspaper at kvakradio.com. So if you don't get that, you can find that in our archive. But really amazing pictures. So we have a lot of tourists in town, Scott. So we thought we might start with trying to explain on the radio, which might be difficult, what's out at the Valdez Glacier, and then we'll start talking about some of the changes that have happened out there. So if you can explain, you know, a lot of tourists have come in and seen Worthington on the way down.
Mm-hmm.
Valdez Glacier is yet another glacier, a little smaller.
Okay. So basically what happened is it was a really interesting event. So when you're out at Valdez Glacier and you're looking at the lake, Valdez Glacier, if you're standing at the viewing platform where the signs are looking at the lake, Valdez Glacier is on the left, and it's receded behind the up its valley, so it's a little bit difficult to see. The icebergs are evident out in front of you. Camisea Glacier would be to the front of you, basically looking north. So with Valdez Glacier, you know, it's meltwater. As it receded, that's where the lake is. The city, it's actually USGS, they've done a lot of work out there. So the Glacier Lake, I don't know if a lot of people know, it's actually 600 feet deep at the face of the glacier.
And it sure doesn't look like it. And this, of course, Valdez Glacier, if you drive down Airport Road and past the airport, you just keep on driving past the campground, and then there's a little area you can park. And it's actually a great place in the winter to snow machine, and there's usually some great ice structures. And but in the summer, that is not frozen over, and it looks like a really small lake, but I know there were some Boy Scouts out there doing a little, and it's cold. That's yeah. You don't want to fall in out there either.
No, it's I actually, for me, two falls ago, I was riding my four-wheeler out there, and it was ice, and people were ice skating stuff, and I little islands, and I went off to the right and crossed, and the section of ice probably, I don't know, 10 feet wide. I went over it, okay, turned around, came back, and the ice broke underneath me, and my four-wheeler crashed through the ice. I jumped off to the side. Fortunately, the ice was thick enough to hold me up, and I'm sitting there holding my four-wheeler because it's trying to go underwater. And anyway, I ended up getting help. Scared me really bad. We pulled my four-wheeler out. I went out there later the next day, and it was over 10 feet deep just in a small section. That lake is it's kind of looks like a bowl. If you look at the bathymetry of it, the city's got from USGS like a 3D model of the lake, and it's really neat. And so it starts off relatively shallow, and then it just drops off, like I say.
And why is that, Scott? I'm not a glaciologist, but I mean, it has to do with the glacier and retreating and what it's left behind. And then I know some people were kind of talking about the recent event, where they're kind of picturing the ice coming down and actually kind of shooting out of the water because of all the pressure. There's a lot of pressure there. Is that, you know, what is creating that depth?
Oh, okay. Well, so basically, if you look at the photos, there's a photo from 1937 you can find it on the internet, that shows the Valdez Glacier and how high up it was and how it's sitting out there. There's no lake in front of it, and they got town in front of, you know, it's just a really neat aerial photo.
Yeah, I've seen that photo, I think. Yeah,
it's just impressive.
It's amazing how, I mean, it's right behind town, you know, where Old Town was, so if you can picture that. Is it picture from the ocean?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you can see the Old Town, and right there's the glacier, like right there. So
yeah.
Would that have been on the water side of the road where it is now, or just that side of the where the road is now?
Okay, well, so basically that whole glacier overlook when you're there, that would have been under ice. That glacier stuck out so far, and then
the way almost to Glacier Stream Bridge. Would it have been that?
Not that far. This photo from 1937. It's basically the area where the lake is. That's all covered in ice, and you can actually find photos. I think it's the University of Alaska. They've got a bunch of historic photos of the guys climbing up on ice.
I think it's Fairbanks.
University of Alaska Fairbanks.
I think.
It's just really neat to go and look at how high that ice was, and then how much it has melted and receded since then. So the glacier back then, you know, was sticking out, And then as it receded back into its valley, it left behind a lake in front of it, which was really common with glaciers. Well, so the glacier's evidently 600 feet deep right at its right now, because that's, you know, that's how deep the water is in front of it. And so as it's receding up the valley, you know, just that area collects water.
So that explains the Valdez Glacier itself. And, you know, we definitely know it's retreated and it's back up the hill. But my goodness, looking at these aerial photos, there is way more back up on that hill than people would imagine, right? Can you tell us? And that's where the recent incident came from, right?
Yeah. So we went up, we were able to go up in a helicopter on last Monday and flew up the glacier. And as you head up a little ways up the, well, in a helicopter, it seemed like a little ways. It's quite a ways back there if you were walking. There was another valley to the right. I've looked at the topo maps, and this glacier doesn't have a name, which kind of surprised me.
And ooh, could we have a contest? Okay, never mind.
So it was really great. They a scientist with the U.S. GS came down and did a presentation last week for council. And so you've got the Valdez Glacier, then you've got this other unnamed glacier, and it used to touch Valdez Glacier on a side in the 1950s, and it's been receding back up its valley, which created a basin, and it's this basin which is now the lake, and there's six streams flowing into it. It filled up with water, and the first thing I asked the scientists was, well, of course, how deep's the lake? And they estimated the lake to be about 300 feet deep.
Well, and for people who've never had an opportunity, if you get a chance to fly over in an airplane or a helicopter through the mountains, that surprised me when I first moved here. There's pools of water everywhere from here. I mean, this is not unique. It's just what happens with glaciers. There's pools of water. So we have a huge one way up on that hill, and it's been relatively, I guess, stable.
Well, no, it hasn't. So this Glacier Dam Lake,
or it hasn't affected Valdez Glacier.
Well, so, and we have photos in front, which I know is hard on the radio to. It's number 17, and yours. Then you can actually see a photo of the lake, and it's kind of like something out of a science fiction movie. You know, with the jumble of ice that's there, when we overflew it, and the lake had drained. You're just looking at a jumble of ice and kind of a pool of water. I remember telling the pilot, I have no scale up here. There's no trees. There's nothing. You know, it's ice and rock. And, like, how can I tell
the size of
things?
It's kind of like when we have the Damalanche situation. I kind of, what are these big wimps? And then I saw the aerial photos. And judging from knowing how big that was, this is huge. And yeah. I'm looking at this picture now. So if you get a chance to jump on and look at these pictures, you'll get an idea. I mean, there is no scale here, but you still get an idea. This is not a small lake, and it's it looks large to me.
So on photo 18, you're looking towards Valdez Glacier over the lake, and there's an ice cliff there, which is Valdez Glacier. And I asked the pilot, I go, how high do you think that is? He estimated it to be approximately 200 feet tall.
Yes, if you're looking at this picture, it looks, you know, a lot of people have gone to see Columbia, so it kind of looks like the face of Columbia, you know, 200 feet, and then there's, you know, the water and all the ice in front of it. So that's, you know, you kind of picture, this serene little lake, but no, it's full of ice. It's huge.
Yeah. So the scientists at USGS, they've tried to put instrumentation in this lake. They've been monitoring it, and his instrument, and I'm not exactly sure what kind of instrument it is, but it gets destroyed all the time because of the draining of the lake and the ice, you know, crushing it. And so what they would like to do is put an instrument above it so they can actually take photos, and then that would...
Well, and one of the reasons we have you in, we haven't really gotten to this yet, but, you know, we've established there's Valdez Glacier, and then up above there's a big ice dam and a lake, but that dam gave way about a week ago, I believe, right? And it's changed what Valdez Glacier looks like. So if you can explain what happened there.
Okay, yeah, so that presentation the scientist did, he explained it to us. So you have this Glacier Dam Lake. And what it is Valdez Glacier is basically cutting off the valley that this lake is in. Well, as the lake fills up in the springtime, there'll actually get enough water pressure to jack the glacier up ever so slightly. So the water then flows out underneath the glacier. He called them conduits. So they're basically tubes in the ice. And these run underneath the glacier. And so as the lake drains, it drains exponentially. It starts off and then ramps up until you get a really large amount of water coming out underneath the glacier. And then then it'll peak and then it'll drop off rapidly because the lake has already drained. So this has happened.
Is that what leaves the ice tubes in the winter? You know, I know on occasion there have been some tubes where you can snow machine through.
Possibly.
Who knows? Yeah.
Possibly. One of them I remember, there was a really good one, and that one, from what I understood, was caused by wind. That was up high, and the wind blowing through it created a pretty cool ice.
Amazing ice structures in the winter. Amazing. I can't even explain. And then I guess in the summer, too, if you get up, you know, get up to see it. But in the winter, definitely can get nice and close. Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't actually see anything on the face of the glacier, like a tunnel or anything of where the water had come out. But, you know, it's the stuff's dynamic and it changes. So what the scientists told us is that the lake drains in the spring, or I should say early summer, and that's the largest amount of water that comes out of it. And then it'll also drain again in the fall, but it's not such an outburst. It's a more gradual thing, because I was very concerned. It's like every fall, you know, we get heavy rains. We're the northernmost rainforest in Alaska. And, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, what if this happens in the fall? But he said it's a more gradual thing in the fall than it is. Because what happens during the fall or later, as you get in early winter, everything's freezing up. So it's the buildup of the water in the springtime that causes the larger release.
And we had a big release. I think Allie just had the date there. When was that?
It happened last Friday, the Friday before.
So we're almost a week and a half
away.
And that dam kind of gave way, that was holding all that water up there. And do you know anyone who saw that, witnessed it? I don't know of anyone who actually witnessed that. So I think there's a lot of conjecture on what it looked like or what it, did the geologist give us an idea of what that event looked like?
Well, so Vertical Solutions Helicopters actually provided us a photo on page 21 of the lake right before it started draining, or as it was draining, and where it was full. So they saw this Friday afternoon on June 17th. They're flying up there all the time. It's just one of the things that they, you know, noted to pay attention to. Well, so the water was like, I was driving into town and came back out 9 o'clock Friday night, and I noticed Glacier Stream was high. I mean, it was, but it had been high because we had all that warm weather for that whole week. It had already been really high. And it's like, oh, it looks higher than normal, but there's a delay with the glacier fed streams. They actually peak out around midnight to 2 a.m. in the morning. And there's a flow gauge. Again, I think USGS is flow. It is their flow gauge in Keystone Canyon. They monitor the outflow of the low river. And you can actually watch the cycles go up and down. So I thought, oh, it's probably, you know, just there's a delay there. Well, it was actually this water building up, but it wasn't apparent. And then throughout that night as it built, then Public Works ended up being called out around midnight, and they had to do place concrete rubble along a dump road because the erosion that was taking place. And through the night, Copper Avenue, which is it's on the Copper Avenue is on the west side of the Glacier Stream Bridge off the Richardson Highway, and it goes out around Old Town. You know, people drive down that. KCHU has their radio antenna down there. That the stream, the Glacier Stream, overflowed its banks and was going over the top of Copper Avenue. So Public Works had to go and plug holes along there to protect. There's utilities. You've got phone. You've got electrical. And then you've got two residences over there, and we have our road. That's our infrastructure, yeah. our road. So they went and plugged the holes in the stream to keep to try to prevent the water from flowing through there. So
now, what it means for people who drive down Airport Road and want to go look at it, there's some amazing ice structures that have been kind of brought along with all this water flow, right, and been left on the banks, or, you know, I don't know if it's not really the banks, but just on the ground, uplands, to take a look at, right? And it's fairly safe to go out there and take a look at those still if you don't get too close to the glacier.
Yeah, so ideally best was that past weekend on the 18th. There was a block of ice that was just up this iceberg came inland from the shore, probably 100 feet. It was almost as big as my work rig, you know, and then I noticed out there the other day people were chipping ice off it for their coolers, and there were...
It's very dense. It works great.
Yeah, yeah.
And it makes a sound. Yeah, it's cool.
And because the glacier lake had risen so much that the icebergs were able to flow to go inland, and then as the water receded, then they were left there. When I was out there on Saturday, I was concerned, you know, there were people kayaking. I'm like, I hope they realize that, you know, these icebergs are unstable, because they were floated to a shallower spot, and then as the water drains away, they could very well topple over. I heard anecdotally, you know, secondhand about some campers that were out there, and the guy I had talked to had asked, it's like, is this under tidal influence? Because they saw the water coming up Friday night. They're like, no, you're away from the ocean. You're nothing to worry. But they're like, what's going on there? And then they ended up having to move because
the
water
of the glacier,
was, yeah,
basically, right? Or
the water level in a lake, because when the ice dam lake was releasing, the Valdez Glacier Lake, the water levels rose.
And many things, I would imagine, affect that. I mean, we've had a hot summer. I don't know what else could. I mean, a small earthquake. I mean, a lot of things could affect whether that water's flowing or what rate it's coming at.
When the lake releases, it's unpredictable. So we don't know the date.
Yeah.
You know, it's happening in the spring, and it's been happening over a number of years, but this was the biggest event. I've lived here since 1984, and I've lived along Glacier Stream since 2002. And I walk that dike with my dog almost every single day, and I've never seen the water this high coming out from this release. So there was a lot of water that came down to Glacier Stream, and it's really amazing to see what you know, because as it Glacier Stream is pretty locked in, the source of the stream coming out of the lake is pretty locked in. It meanders, and then further downstream it opens up, becomes a spirited stream. And the amount of alders and just stuff that it washed down, it's really amazing. So you know, I've been on a riverbed this past weekend just looking at stuff, and you've got alders that the bark stripped off them. They're laying there, and they're just stripped clean because of the amount of because when you get that much water flowing down there, you've got rocks, you've got gravel, you've got everything. It was really destructive.
Yeah, and so speaking of destruction, so we kind of talked about the recreation area. So of course people can adjust that, right? You know, whether they go closer or further away, and there's not a lot of development out there, but it does keep on coming and flow right on out. Under Glacier Stream Bridge, and I know there have been lots of people, you know, kind of parking and getting out and going, holy cow, like, look at the water. So even if you haven't gone out to the glacier, just driving out the highway, the amount of water going under that bridge is way, way more than usual and way faster, and I understand that's caused some erosion on the, you know, there at the Glacier Stream Bridge, and then anywhere else, is it, you know, is there any other areas we're concerned with there?
Yeah, The bridge is owned by State of Alaska. That's their infrastructure there. So the water levels now are down to, you know, say what you normally see along Glacier Stream. During that event, that June 17th Friday, and then the 18th on Saturday, by the morning the water peaked out in early morning hours and was already going down, but the water was high enough that it caused erosion to the west side of the bridge. You've got these revetments. They're lined with riprap, and they're dikes that are to control erosion, so the river can't get around a bridge. Riprap are the large rocks that prevent the gravel behind it from getting washed away. On the west side of the bridge, the river actually got behind that riprap, and it's caused erosion there. Then on the east side of the bridge, where the bike path goes out and around, it's currently scouring away at the radius where the bike path makes a turn. And the good news is the state has people coming down to look at this and to make repairs. Because
they want to maintain the integrity of that bridge, right?
Of course, our only access in and out of town. So, yeah, that's something that they'll have to make repairs to. It's not city infrastructure, but
hey, it's construction season. We can bring on the riprap too, right? We can just gotta fix everything.
Yeah, I don't know. That shouldn't. When they do that work, I don't think it should cause too much delay.
Yeah, it's definitely off the side of the road.
Yeah, so. But that's something that'll have to be taken care of.
How high? Do you have any idea when that event happened? How was it? You know, I know when we have had events at in Keystone Canyon, it's, you know, over the top of the road. You know, was this anywhere, you know, a foot from the top? Were we close there?
It actually went over the top. On the east side of the bridge, the bike path that goes out and around, that morning I saw debris. You could see the sticks, you could see the silting, and that's actually shown.
So over the bike path, but not over the bridge.
No, not over the bridge, but it did go over that dike at the bike path. And trying to find that photo for you here. So if you look at photo 6, you can actually, and the photo 6, this was taken on Monday, so the water had already drained down. Saturday, this whole basin here between the bike path and the bridge was filled with water. Now, people, chances are they've seen the east side of the water over there. The west side, people have seen water over there. The east side, I've never seen that before. This was all filled with water, and you can actually see in a photo there's silt on left from the on top of the bike path where the water went over the top. So there wasn't, I've talked to people that happened to be riding their bikes that morning, you know, and they saw it, and I'd like to get some photos of it. I'd really like to see what it looked like, because I saw it after, but
if anyone has one.
Yeah, that'd be really good to see, and then we could share that with the state.
Yeah, definitely. Call the city. All right. Very interesting stuff. So where do we go from here? Big event. So for folks who haven't, I know a lot of people have gone out there to take a look. So you can go check out some, if you want to see a glacier right here in town, just drive out Airport Road. If you're visiting, it's nice and easy. Just head out Airport Road, past the airport and past the campground. And then there's just kind of a parking area at the end of the road. And there's, you know, glaciers to be seen and touched. And if you need some cooler ice, take some. And the state will be working on, you know, the road, but more studies. Hopefully you'll keep us appraised if they find out more information. But I guess, you know, we've had all this talk. It's not not something for people to be concerned with, but it is a pretty, you know, something to keep an eye on, it sounds like.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we're keeping an eye on it. The science behind it was just fascinating to me to see, you know, what happened here just right in our own town.
We are pretty amazing. I mean, we have Columbia Glacier right here. We have Worthington right up the road. Valdez Glacier right here. A lot of people come on a cruise and, yeah, we see lots of glaciers, but they're all in the water. So to have this many, you know, land glaciers is pretty unique, even to Alaska, right?
Yeah,
I mean, for such an accessible location, I think.
Yeah. I think Worthington's the most accessible glacier on the roadside in the state, I believe. And then Valdez Glacier, you know, you can get out to it in a kayak. You can see it if you hike along the shore. But it's right now, it's what I was surprised by when we flew over in a helicopter. This trail that I remember hiking in the 90s where I could walk up on a glacier, it already receded back in a valley past that point. But
have people, explorers out there, it is important to note, and most locals know this, talking about glaciers, they're in the winter, we have a lot of, you know, a lot of snow machining on glaciers, but you really have to know what you're traversing on, because even experienced skiers, snow machiners, will fall into a crevasse and they can be 30, 40 feet deep. We've had some incredible rescues here. We've also had some tragedies. So on Worthington, you know, a few years ago, there was some kids who kind of walked up it and fell in a crevasse. So really take caution, you know, if you know, getting the idea that I'm just going to go hike up onto a glacier is not the best of ideas. So I just want to do a little disclaimer there. And this recent event kind of shows it's Mother Nature, and it's got its a will and a mind of its own, but beautiful and amazing to kind of witness, which is what I think, you know, most of the locals are kind of, you know, there's been a lot of talk just, you know, how did this happen? And how, so it's, so thanks for coming in and explaining.
Oh, no problem.
And I do want to clarify, you know, we were talking about, could they have been, you know, shot? No, they weren't shot out of anywhere. They're kind of floating out and floating back.
Yeah. Now, USGS, they are a bit concerned if the glacier calves, like you see in the videos.
No, I don't think we touched on this. The Valdez Glacier, and then, you know, we're talking about this lake. How far, distance-wise, are those two apart?
The Valdez Glacier Lake from, like,
from the glacier itself. You know, we're talking about up the hill.
Oh, I don't know. I need to get on Google Earth and try to, because I want to kind of get some
idea
of the dimensions of the
lake.
But
I mean, it's
yeah,
it's not right there. It's at least a mile.
No, I think it's even further than that. I mean, it's hard for me to judge by the air. I'd say it's probably like something like 3 miles or
three
something.
3 miles, okay.
Yeah, yeah. That, just my guess.
Yeah, so that's why you're saying it would take a significant event to really impact Valdez Glacier. Or, you know, the one, you know, like a little calving may not impact because it's 3 miles. You know, quite a way.
Yeah, no, I think the way the Valdez Glacier runs in front of that basin where the lake is, it would calve. I don't think it would really impact us down low. It's the water draining out from underneath the glacier and filling the lake and then coming down in a glacier stream is
what's getting
high
us.
Water event that.
All right, well, Scott, thank you so much for coming in and,
yeah, you're welcome,
and giving us some information. I know. It's something, you know, we need something to talk about. So this has been kind of an interesting thing to find out about, and definitely go look at those pictures, and we'll have them in our email newspaper so you can get a quick link from there, and maybe we'll put them on the homepage somewhere. I'm looking at Christine. Sure. But they're pretty fascinating, and then you'll get an idea of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, you're welcome.